Welcome to the home of 100 to 1 Faith Radio. My name is Larry Gent, and this is the place for stories of miraculous faith in the face of impossible odds. Today we welcome our friends from Grace United Methodist Church in Hartwood, Virginia. Our scripture for the day is Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. In the beginning, God created. So begins the most amazing story ever told. But we know that it's much more than a story. You see, this Bible, this book, is God-breathed. The inspired word of God is not just a history book, a record of what did happen long ago. No, this is a living invitation to see what God does do, is doing, and will do until the end of time. For the Bible, you see, is God-breathed. That means that God is moving when we read these words. In the beginning, God always creates. This is the essence, the very nature of God. God is always our creator. When we read these sacred words, we recreate that holy moment of creation itself. We unleash the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. We invite God to move, and we wait for God to speak. In the beginning, God created. Well, here we are. We're in a new beginning at Grace Hartwood, aren't we? And if God is still God, then the Spirit of God is still moving on this new Genesis. But something else is constant. In the beginning, in the very beginning, before God could begin to create, there was chaos. The world was not the life-giving, nurturing Mother Earth we so easily take for granted. Our world was formless and void, shapeless and useless, lifeless and worthless. There was no place for earth or sky or sea, nothing solid underneath, nothing comforting above. Fire came hissing up from the deep. Rocks exploded. Mountains leapt to the sky only to be torn asunder and cast down again by the raging storms. There was no time, no season, no rhyme, no reason for life. And in that seething primordial soup, a deep darkness covered the earth. This is not the sort of darkness you perceive when you snick off a light switch. This is the kind of darkness that grips you by the very soul and oozes out through your heart and mind. It is the darkness every parent knows when the call comes in the middle of the night and you don't know where your child is. It's the chaos and confusion that comes when the doctors said, "We did all we could." It comes like a tidal wave when you see two strangers in full dress uniforms come knocking at your door. Today, we Methodists have a sister organization that embraces lives in this chaos. It's a group that grew out of the small group meetings of the original Wesleyan movement. Perhaps you've heard of it. They call themselves AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. This group says it's not important what you call God. It doesn't even matter if you can say you believe in God. All that matters is that you know your life is insane, unmanageable, out of control. And God is the only one who can bring you from madness to sanity. AA believes that life is crazy, and we all need a higher power to restore us to sanity, to make life possible again. This craziness is what the Bible calls chaos. This is life in the darkness, and this is where God always begins. This is where God always moves. Sooner or later, in our lifetimes, we all know that darkness. You know, sometimes I think we do new believers a disservice by making it sound like the Christian life is all sweetness and buttercups. The theology of the airwaves sells this easy gospel. I call it Ren and Stimpy theology. Just give your heart to Jesus and then it's all happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. And if your life isn't all smiles and lollipops, well then, you just need to send more money to the televangelists so they can tell you all the secrets of happy, happy, joy, joy. Well, mature faith knows what it is to persevere with Christ, walking beside us in the valley of the shadow. You see, even Jesus knew what it was to be in that time of darkness. He knew what it was like to call out from the chaos, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In that valley of despair, there's no space for life, no hope for life, no love for life. All is formless and void and dark. The whole world is insane. But then, at the moment it seems all is lost, God speaks. God speaks light and there's light. God speaks life and there's life. God speaks hope and there is hope. Suddenly, there's a rhyme, a reason, a time and a season. There's a boundary for the waters and a place for the land. There's a rhythm to the seasons. And we become part of the music of the spheres. Yes, in the face of chaos, God still speaks. But did you notice? In this creation account, there was a pause. There was a moment when God was about to speak. The Gospel of John says, at that moment, God created a logos. Logos is translated in the Bible as word. So the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and through him, all things came into being. But logos is much more than the sound of that word that flies from our lips. Logos is the idea, the desire, the construct that forms in our minds before we speak. At least we hope sometimes that some idea forms before we speak. God always has a plan before God speaks. There was a moment when God made that plan, and all the angels in heaven folded their wings and bowed before Jehovah in wonder. For God Almighty dreamed a dream. God saw a vision. And in that moment, as the heavenly host held their breath, God thought of you. Yes, you. From the first breath of creation, you were part of God's plan. Yes, there are those who say that the world is still a smoldering mass of chaos. They say that all of this has come to pass as the product of billions and billions of cosmic accidents. Those of us who grew up with Carl Sagan know that well. In a universe with billions of galaxies, each with billions of suns, and billions upon billions of planets, there was bound to be one planet where there would be life. There was bound to be Heartwood. There was bound to be a world like this. All you need to do is shake up a cosmic cocktail to mix things up long enough by random. And voila, here we are today. Is that really how you got here? Is time and chance all it took to create you? Well, let's try it and see. I need a little help here, so on our Faith Radio, you can't see it, but I brought along a zip bag with a little bit of coffee, and I'm going to pour some salt, a random amount of salt, into those ground up coffee beans. You can do this at home if you like. If you don't have coffee, you can use pepper or whatever. Just something black and something white. Shake it up all together. Shake it at random. Shake it with your eyes shut. Shake it until your name appears. Let's say written in cursive with the grains of salt. Or if you like, we can just shake this bag until the grounds of coffee form a three-dimensional image of your face. Your face, not just any face, but yours. How long do you suppose we would have to shake this bag at random to create your name or your image? Well, here's the answer. It will never happen at random. It will never happen by accident. It will only happen if someone does it on purpose. But hang on. That monogram of your name or that model of your face, that's infinitely easier to create by accident than one single DNA molecule. That microscopic roadmap is the key to all life on Earth. And it has a perfect image of you secreted deep within it. The slightest alteration of that molecule would change everything about you. Native Americans have always said, we're all related. All living things are related. And when the first missionaries encountered this idea, they said, oh, you poor silly savages. How can you possibly think we're related to a tree or a frog or a bit of moss? Well, it turns out the Indians were right. When the scientists discovered DNA, they found out that the DNA of a human or a redwood tree or a speck of pond scum all looks very much the same. Turning a few tiny switches here and there can make an entirely different creation. So it's not enough to shake a DNA molecule into existence accidentally. You have to accidentally shake it just right so that you make a portrait of yourself instead of a tree or a toadstool. Oh, but wait, that's still not enough. For you see, DNA is actually mitochondrial DNA. DNA cannot exist outside of the mitochondria of a living cell. If we're going to shake life into existence, then we have to accidentally get all the chemicals right all at once for a DNA double helix to form inside a mitochondria, and that has to form inside a cell. And then we have to accidentally shake life itself into the mix. Oh, but sorry, that's still not enough, because those cells all need some source of energy. They need something to eat. So even as we shake all of this accidentally into existence, we still have to shake up more organic stuff for these living cells to eat. And we need to stop shaking things at just the right moment so that all of these delicate cells can thrive. And we need to do that without any hands to guide, without any eyes to see, and without any purpose behind all that chaos. If we can do that, then I will entertain the possibility that all of this exquisite wonder could happen by accident, without any finger to create. I'll entertain that possibility if you can simply shake my name in this bag by accident. But you are no accident. This moment is not accidental. You are a vital part of God's eternal plan. No matter how deep or dark the chaos has been, God has always had a plan for you. At the dawn of creation, as the angels held their breath, God wrote your name on his hand. This morning, we have nothing to offer but our own chaos. In a wounded and broken world, we can offer nothing to God but our own need. But in that holy moment, as the angels catch their breath today, our Creator is still reaching out his hand to you. The world sees nail prints in the hands of Christ. But if you look closely this morning, you'll see your name written on the palm of his hand. Let me digress. The Hebrew writing that we have today is based on Chaldean from Babylon. And in that time and place, they wrote all their characters with a little paintbrush on papyrus. But the ancient Hebrew characters that the prophet Isaiah spoke about, those were based on another form of writing. They were based on the writing of a stylus incising the characters into a palette of clay. That's what Isaiah was thinking of when he said, God has written your name on the palm of his hand. He saw God taking a stylus, not painting your name on his hand, not even tattooing your name on his hand, but actually carving your name into the flesh of God's palm. You see, I believe when Christ stretched out his hand to receive the nail on the cross, when Christ willingly received that nail for you, your name was written on the palm of his hand. And if you look closely at that nail-scarred hand today, you'll see that from the dawn of creation, God had your name written right there. So in the beginning, God moved upon the chaos, and in the infinite power of creation, God thought of you. And God began to make a purpose, a plan, a rhyme, a reason, a season for you. But God didn't stop there. Our Creator still creates today. God still makes a light in the darkness. God still makes hope in the desolation, nightmares into dreams, loneliness into love. God still writes your name on the palm of his hand. And all God needs is a little room to be God. How are you doing with your crazy life today? How well are you managing your chaos? Have you come today to let God know you're still in control and you don't need a thing? If you have, that's cool. Let us know how that works out for you. But if you're here today because the madness has become unmanageable, if you're here because the chaos is unbearable, if you're here because you've run out of room for life itself, then you've come to the right place. This place is not a country club for saints. This place is a hospital for sinners. The Creator is here. The great physician is moving upon the depths of your chaos. God is ready to make you into a whole new creation in Jesus Christ. God is ready to give you a whole new beginning.